we go.
Peace and God bless, world. It's your favorite show, Upgrade America. I'm Cameron Rock. Pleased to be joined with Finish It, CJ the Bass.
What's going on, baby? Live in the flesh.
Yo, live in the flesh. Another day in paradise. We are blessed. You are blessed too if you're hearing this show, because it means you're not locked up. While they do have podcasts in jail, Upgrade America is not yet available. So enjoy your life while you're living free. How the heck are you, bro? What are we talking
good.
About?
Good. We
today?
Talking about the war on the nuclear family.
No, we don't mean nuclear munitions and bombs or what have you. We're talking about the nuclear family in the sense of a wife and a husband and wee bitty children and such, and maybe a little dog. But me and CJ, we've been talking, and it almost seems like there's an agenda against the nuclear family. Mm-hmm. Like, there's all these incentives for, you know, for women to get up and dip and be single mothers and whatnot. And we want to analyze these trends and figure out if there's a better way and maybe propose some solutions to Upgrade America.
Yeah.
So talk to them, brother.
All right. So we're going to start with one of the things that can contribute to healthier relationships and a chiller, you heard that right, chiller, like AC, society, especially Burr. American society.
Burr.
And this would be called the, we're starting on the state level, but you can nationalize this.
Cool.
The Florida Adult Services Regulation Act of 2024.
I like where you're going with that. Does it include massages?
Could you be. You know, could be. So, the purpose, we're just going to read the bullet points. It's a lot more in depth, but we're going to just go the overview real quick.
High level, real high level.
The purpose is to decriminalize and regulate adult services, including prostitution or intimacy wellness, is what we call it, in the state of Florida. Protect the health, safety, and well-being of individuals engaging in adult services, meaning the public and the paying customers. Establishing licensing and regulatory framework for adult service establishments, meaning you're going to save the worker. You're going to make sure they got everything in place. Make sure they're safe. Make sure it's clean. Make sure it's secure.
Screening, health screening, testing, all that good stuff.
Reduce human trafficking and organized crime involvement in the adult industry, services industry.
I want to interject real quick.
Go ahead.
But it's like one of the most heartbreaking, I don't know, crimes and tragedies in America is the human trafficking of children. Mm-hmm. And one who's been well acquainted with the legal law enforcement experience, criminal justice experience, it's like when you are dedicating officers to petty crimes, I don't know, like weed crimes and things of that nature, you're taking a sworn officer off of the street to deal with something frivolous. Meanwhile, the human traffickers are out running amok. So by legalizing prostitution, you can concentrate the efforts not on two adults, two consenting adults doing the deed that's been done since the dawn of time, but you can focus on stopping, you know, the folks from snatching children from Disney World and places like that for human trafficking. Pardon the interruption. Please continue.
You're good. And the last point you make is generate revenue for the state through licensing fees and taxes.
Hmm. The state is broke. Like, y'all always trying to shake people down for stupid shit. Like, mutualism is the best way to win. A win-win is the best way to win. So, like, someone getting a blowjob and paying their taxes on that, that's a win-win.
And another thing is the caveat. You reduce the amount of young women or whoever being out on the street in dangerous conditions doing this. You would monetize what is going on digitally with OnlyFans and all these other platforms, and you would bring money back into the state or the country if you got this more on a federal level.
And I agree, because that's all it takes is success in one state till someone to say, hey, this is a really great idea. Like, I'll give you an example. Many laws, like many New York state laws, they turn out to become federal laws.
Mm,
and
okay.
we've I thought we had this discussion about New York being a microcosm, but it's like it's almost like a testing ground.
Okay.
If you think about,
you talking about New York City.
Yes, pardon
compared
me.
Compared to New York State,
New York City has over 8 million people, and you're talking about statistics, right? And then the hermetical principle of as above, so below. It's like if it works in New York City, there's a possibility that it could work in across America.
I guess that would apply to California too, seeing as they also have that type of influence.
I could see that possible. I'll have to look at it if that's
Usually because New York covers the East Coast, but if you think about how both of them are set up, except New York has more of a diversity of economics because you got. I would say the edge they have is the financial market.
New York City?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Because of Wall Street, right? There's a lot of money being made out there. But then,
and then
California has Silicon Valley.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
There's making a lot of money out there, too.
Yeah, so I would say New York got the slight, very slight edge because of the financial markets.
Yeah.
But their pattern very similar. I think the difference also is California does a lot of manufacturing. Doesn't get talked about.
What I would say would make New York more unique.
Okay.
Is that I've been to LA.
Mm-hmm.
And LA is very spread out. Mm-hmm. And they're notorious for awful traffic and everything else like that. But with New York, it's 20 square miles where you're packing in 8.5 million people.
Gotcha.
So it's very, very concentrated. Mm-hmm. So that makes it unique. I believe it's like every square block is 30,000 people.
Okay.
Damn. Sitting on top of each other.
Gotcha.
Square block. It was crazy.
I just know, I remember seeing a stat. I don't remember if I remember this correctly, but California is like one of the fifth largest GDP?
I can see that because
globally,
the Silicon Valley.
Not only that.
Oh,
but
you're saying GDP, like California, like a
they
country.
Like a country, yes.
Now, what about Texas? How is this?
They're the same.
Because Texas with all the oil.
Yeah, so you would have.
That's crazy.
I think it's, if I remember correctly, it's Texas, New York, and Cali are like their own GDPs, essentially.
So while we're talking about the war on family, we can briefly talk about Civil War, which I believe is premiering.
It's an indie film. Well, I don't want to say indie film, but yeah, it's a film that's coming out.
But in that film, California and Texas join forces, right?
I think so.
And it's like, but what you said just put entirely different context to the background of the movie, because you're talking about California has the highest, you said the fifth
GDP.
Fifth GDP, and that's in the world, folks. Yeah. We're not talking about across the country. Yeah, we're talking about in the world. But Texas, too, has, because Texas has always been discussing how they want to become independent and whatnot. But Texas, too, has their... Because
oil, gas, natural gas, oil, all that stuff, medical,
so
energy.
There I see the plot to that movie. But yeah, that's pretty fascinating. I don't want to deviate too far act, but if you were to pick a state where you would start it first, where would it be?
Florida. Why not?
But why Florida? Florida versus New York, and why?
Damn.
You already mentioned tourism.
Yeah. They both get tourism in New York City.
Yeah,
does.
You're right. There's a lot of
sites. So
but
they,
I would say...
Go ahead.
Because New York has the wintertime, and tourism decreases in the wintertime. If anything, it's the opposite in Florida. Mm-hmm. It increases in the winter because everyone wants to go there.
Yeah.
And then it's like... Florida has beach weather, so you can already have your wares out on the beach. You're like, yo, this is what you get.
I think there's just the environment is spread out. You can build the infrastructure a lot more systematically than New York, in a sense. I think the other part of it is the nature aspect of it.
What do you mean?
That's a part of wellness, right? Nature. We have to be in nature to be whole as humans. That's a part of our well-being.
I agree.
So I'm thinking in my head, too, if you were to legalize this in Florida, besides the tourism, besides the influx of people moving here constantly, because you got to think, that could be a job for somebody moving from New York or moving from somewhere.
Yeah, I could definitely see a job, but I could definitely see it more like gig work. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But here's where I'm going to push back.
Okay, go ahead.
Because I would love to see it happen in Florida, because I live in Florida. But, like, where I would say it would be better in New York.
Okay, go ahead.
Is, like, New York is more liberal.
Gotcha.
New York is more open-minded.
Gotcha.
Whereas Florida is more, I believe it's more conservative.
I would say Florida is purple in the metropolitan areas.
Yeah.
And I think it's growing to be more purple. And when I say purple upgraders, that's basically a confluence of it's Democrat and Republicans, but they're real close together. And like the values kind of blend. Like for instance, like right now, go ahead.
I'm sorry to interrupt, but like our season one through even right now, our logo was purple.
Oh yeah.
And it's because of that, like that concept of meshing conservative and liberal values to form our own opinion. Because
yeah,
it's very
absolutely.
Moronic to just be like, yeah, vote blue no matter what they do. Like how ignorant, how like you're not, it's like you don't want to think.
Yeah.
You don't want to analyze the issues. You're like, yeah, I know kids are dying in Palestine, but Joe Biden. It's like, yeah, you know, cops are kneeling on a black man's neck and you know, killing him on killing him live, but you know, MAGA. Like you're not thinking. You have to come together. It's everything isn't black and white. It's not fucking binary. It's gray.
Yeah.
But we're purple.
Yeah. Nah, it's just because if you know, like I give you an example, like in Orlando, it's pretty much purple.
Mm.
You got Democrats, you got Republicans. And it's pretty much blended all over the Orlando metro area. I could speak for that based on where I live currently is red, more than likely red. But they still have like some stuff that Democrats would do. You know.
Yo, I want to shout out Orlando. I'm out here due to my legal situation, which I can't speak on at the moment, but I'm really loving Orlando. Like, if Orlando was a bitch, I would make sweet love to her. Like, I had a really great time with my brother CJ, the Day Slayer, out there, man. And it's like, yeah, maybe purple is the way to go. Because too liberal is like,
yeah.
And then like too, how do you say, GOP conservative is like, So
yeah.
You gotta have middle ground. And is that not what life is about? Equilibrium, balance, and you know, like holistic stuff. I deviated, I ranted.
No, you good.
Again, I had a few drinks tonight, and I'm feeling wonderful. But, yeah, CJ, please, back to the bill.
Okay, so now, since we're talking about the war in the nuclear family, right? Drafted a bill called the Florida Marriage Innovation Act. And we kept everything just to the state of Florida because it's easier. I can reach the senators. I've been emailing these bills to the senators during the season. And the reason why I came up with this is like, how can we make improved marriage, the state of marriage, where it's equal on both sides and incentivizes and encourages healthier relationships, right? So this bill, I'm going to read like basically a summary, high level, right? So this act is intended to encourage informed and responsible marriage decisions through default prenuptial agreements, foster ongoing communication and commitment through marriage renewal options, promote amicable resolutions and reduce conflict and separation processes through mediation.
So hold on.
Go ahead.
Like, I got like 3 college degrees and the amicable remediation.
Friendly.
Break that down.
Just friendly.
So it's like
civil,
just friendly.
Friendly, civil.
For friendly,
mediation.
Friendly mediation. So like resolving conflicts.
So say you get in a divorce. You tried everything. You tried counseling. And then you're like, okay, joint custody. I don't want his assets. He doesn't want mine. We're going to set up an arrangement for child care. We're going to set up holidays, all that stuff. I'm going to move out. You're going to move out. Or so-and-so can keep the house. I'll move out. It's just basically friendly.
But how do you facilitate that? because I'm dealing with a messy situation, which again, mm-hmm. you know, really don't want to discuss on the podcast, but like, that's a real pain. Those are painful situations. I'm just thinking, like, what would be best practice to do it?
So, I'm thinking, go ahead. I'm,
like, you know, dealing with my ex and her having discussions about custody and everything. You know, we were living in the same house, but we were not together. I do not recommend that.
Yeah.
But I told her that I would prefer to have these conversations via text message. Don't come into my space and have, this is an uncomfortable, traumatic discussion. These are things that should be having done mm-hmm. via text. I think maybe that would be amicable, and using like ChatGPT to say, okay, say you have the party, the woman mm-hmm. on one side, the man on the mm-hmm. other side, or what have you. And they say their response verbally or type it. You could take ChatGPT or another, learning AI
yeah. mm-hmm.
language model. And it would take it, but write it tactfully, still take the context, but write it in a nice way
gotcha.
To the other party. Mm-hmm. And then these text messages would go back and forth, and then they would resolve the conflict. And then you would also have the ChatGPT, the AI.
Mm-hmm.
You'd have that as a moderator in between. So if party A is saying some crazy outlandish stuff, it can work and try to resolve that. But it would be like, it's a negotiation
mm-hmm.
at the end of the day.
Yeah.
So it would be like, it would help facilitate that negotiation. And, you know, I think that's one way we can upgrade America.
The last point is to explore alternative approaches like collaborative law in specific cases, gather data to inform future policy decisions regarding marriage in Florida. So I'm going to give you like the sections in this law as well. So one of the first sections, which could be very controversial, especially for most women, is an automatic prenuptial agreement.
So what do you mean? Like you sign it?
So, okay. I'll just do the first line.
Okay.
So we don't get too far in the weeds. All legal marriages in Florida automatically include a premarital agreement unless explicitly opted out by both parties through a formal legal document. So that would be separate property owned by each party before marriage would remain their property. Equal division of marital assets acquired during the marriage, except inheritances, I think I said that right, and designated gifts are considered marital property and subject to equal division upon separation, dissolution, or death. No alimony. Neither party is entitled to alimony from the other. I think just this first one really determines if you really want to get married.
I would push back.
I think it determines. Are you serious about marriage?
I agree. It would. The only thing on the alimony is, and I'm not even a fan of alimony, but yeah, think about the trophy wives
mm-hmm.
who went in there with nothing. They dealt with all the stuff from these, you know, these rich jerk offs, and then it's like there's no alimony, so then they get like booted out. I don't know. But
well, that's why the second section applies.
Can you reiterate?
Marriage renewal option. Every 5 years, you can renew your marriage license.
Now that I like. I really like that concept because, again, it kind of saves you from the... And I'm divorced, single, ready to mingle. But it kind of saves you from that that whole messy divorce process.
Mm-hmm.
I like it.
Mm-hmm.
I think the whole marriage process should be revamped.
Absolutely.
It shouldn't be like, hey, we got drunk and we went to Vegas and we got married. No. It should be like, you got to do this prenup. You got to come to these agreements, because really think about it.
Mm-hmm.
Marriage is, in its current state, marriage is a commitment to live and take care of one another. Not for a month. Not for a year. For life. It's a lifelong commitment.
Mm-hmm.
But in order to get into it,
Think how easy it is to get into it. Like I said, people get married and divorced in Las Vegas in the night.
Yeah.
And I haven't verified that, like, you know, legally, but I know it's easy to get married in Las Vegas.
It's hard to get divorced.
But here's what you don't understand about marriage upgraders. Hey, guess what? Like, your business is doing great. You just became a millionaire, billionaire. Cool. You got married in Vegas, and you passed out, and she took off. And then something else happens. She can take like half of everything you own over something something that you could do in like less than an hour. You can get married in less than an hour, but it can impact your entire fortune, your whole life.
And that's why the automatic prenuptial agreements come in, and that's why the marriage renewal options come in.
I think I totally agree with this policy. I think, and it sucks. Like, it's almost like a runway ramp. It would put like a runway ramp to the marriage process. It would slow it down, but it needs to be. You need to have a plan on an exit plan. And it's not always death do us part.
And then the other parts of it, real quick, is you have mediation prior to litigation. So you're going to sit down and talk about child custody stuff, like good solutions for child custody, property division, any outstanding financial issues. It's mandatory before you go to court.
Facts.
Okay, the next part, which is not spoken about, which is very important, marriage education support. State funding allocated to support premarital and postmarital education programs addressing communication, financial planning, conflict resolution, and healthy relationship skills.
You said this is mandatory?
Yeah. All this is a part of this when you're getting married. All this is a part of that.
I agree with that. There should be a course. Because when you consider how many marriages are ended over financial stuff, yeah, it's like, so you're going to drive a car. What do you get? You get a freaking permit. And then how do you get a permit? By studying. You take a freaking course to do it.
Yeah.
Like, I agree, man. This is...
And when you're getting married, you're what? Getting a marriage license.
Facts.
So, this has been talked about a few. I know Lil Duval, the comedian, talked about.
Like a license?
Yeah. The marriage license. Like, yo, we should have it renewed like our driver's license. And it's been an ongoing conversation for a while now from different people. I remember he's one of the ones I heard it first from, but I'm not sure exactly.
I mean, like, maybe we can lobby for him.
I think that would be a great idea, though. But that's the marriage innovation law. The idea is for it to be quality, be smart about it. We got all the education. We got all the tech we can use to help this situation out. Why not use it for something proactive? So my question to you is, how would this affect marriage moving forward? Say we pass this law tomorrow. How do you think it would affect marriage just in Florida? We're starting with Florida because we wrote it for Florida.
So how would it affect marriage in Florida?
What do you foresee? Give it the first year. How do you think it would affect marriage rates? Would it be more divorces? Do you think it would be less marriages? Like, I'm curious. Just speculating.
I'm speculating, and I would think it would be less marriages, not because it's a turnoff. It was because people would be taking the time to go through the course, the study, to make adequate planning for, like, hey, let's be realistic. Like, most relationships don't last longer than 4 years. Most marriage, 70% of marriages end in divorce. So let's just be realistic. This and then this is a conversation two people are having. Like, let's take this course, study the best practices, study the most successful marriages, and then go and apply for the license. But to answer your question, I could see it slow down initially because, again, we're adding new barriers of entry. But eventually, yeah, more people would do it after seeing the success of others, because you mentioned financial planning, you mentioned soft skills and communication. Like, these are power-ups.
and relationships. Mm-hmm. And just having the basic knowledge is going to have success. And when people see success, they want to what? They want to replicate it. So the real question is, what percentage of divorce, what would be the divorce rate 4 years from after applying?
Okay, yeah.
I want to hear your answer on that.
All right, I'm going to respond to a text real quick. I think it goes back to what you were saying. I think maybe initially you might have, I don't say influx, but you'll have that rate up a little bit, that first 5 year run.
Yeah.
And then I think it would get lower over time.
Like the divorce rate would go down?
Yeah, I think over time. Because it goes back to what you were saying. More people being deliberate, pacing themselves with going into this endeavor, mm-hmm. is a lot different than going down to the courthouse tomorrow, getting married, and then boom, figuring it out.
Yeah.
Knowing that it's state mandatory, because you're involving the state getting a marriage license anyway, mm-hmm. and you're renewing a license, that's a state process. Why not incorporate all these things to have better residents, stronger families, which we're going to talk about all this stuff. Sorry, I'm getting texts.
No worries, no worries. Spooty call out.
this girl.
But yeah, man, I totally like the idea. But if just comparing marriage to a driver's license,
let me make sure it's still recording. Okay, it is. Good.
Driving is dangerous.
Yeah.
And so is marriage.
Yeah,
so there should be they're all potentially dangerous. There should be some additional considerations into into the process. But like,
I think it'll be like we both agree that it'll be a, I guess, break-in period.
What do you mean? Like,
for the first 5 years, it'll be a break-in period for getting people on board with the process. And then also, okay, if they opt out, what does that look like now? You have both test subject on both sides. You had the people, okay, we renewed the 5 years. Then you had the people, nah, we good on this. So you get to see both. And then I would be curious to see what the PR and the marketing and all that stuff would look like. Like, how do you market that? What would that look like? On radio, TV, digital, internet.
So the best way to do it would be through, like, I don't want to say through HBO, but to do a series on it.
Yeah,
like
comedic. A
drama, comedy, whatever, but on successful marriages based on that process. Mm-hmm. Like, heck, I'll even write the pilot. But, like, really think about it. I would watch a show on a couple. Let's just say you got some high school sweethearts.
Mm-hmm.
Right, like, and you're
let me put this on Barbara. Go ahead.
They're getting together, and it's like they're studying for their marriage license.
Mm-hmm.
And then you see how the process works now that they know about, I don't know, maybe making some sacrifices, mm-hmm. or put up for a savings for an unexpected bill. You know, like financial literacy, things of that nature, better communications, body language, all that good stuff. But like, I don't know. I think there will most certainly be success.
Yeah, I'd just be really curious what that would look like. But yeah, I think that's a very innovative way to do it. YouTube, Snapchat, like, make it for every medium. Hey, Florida got this brand new innovative idea about how to approach marriage. Blah, 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 right? The state will... And I think you do have to throw some kind of financial incentive in there.
Obviously, I'm thinking a better, a higher tax break. Like, whatever the tax breaks are now, you do that, you increase it.
I think that's the only part I did leave out is an incentive.
Because it's like...
You got to incentivize it somehow.
You got people who have babies just to get the tax money.
Yeah.
So I'm sure there will be people who would get married just to get the, you know, an extra stack on their taxes. But let's talk about the benefits from it.
Okay, but before, you got that list?
Yeah, I do. But before we do that, I suppose we just discuss that, the government-funded dating app.
Okay.
And some potential benefits from that. So the thought experiment is about a dating app made by the government, not like the current government, but like the Upgrade America government, who's like tech savvy and all that.
Yeah.
But like, how would it benefit a dating app sponsored by the government? How would it benefit the American people? And also, how would it benefit the government? So we're going to briefly talk about this real quick. So as far as how it would benefit the American people, like, married couples often receive tax benefits such as filing jointly, which can result in lower tax rates or eligibility for certain deductions and credits, right? So, like, if the American people are hooking up and they're getting married, they're going to get a tax break. So Social Security and Medicare. So spouses may be entitled to certain benefits.
Hold up. That's not the right list, right? Isn't it the other list, the benefits of...
So this is how it will benefit the people. I'm going to say how it benefits...
That's the benefit of the government, but the other one is the benefit of the people, right? The other list?
No, the other one is how it will benefit the government. So it's like, for instance...
Okay, go ahead. I'm sorry. I think I had it in reverse. I had this shit in reverse.
Nah, it's all good. I may have it in reverse.
I'm sitting there like, hold up. We know that standard. We're trying to highlight the stuff that people don't think about as far as marriage that would benefit the government.
Yeah. So let me say the ones where I will benefit the government. So like social stability, right? So
there we go. Yeah,
strong marriages can contribute to social stability and reduce the likelihood of various social problems such as poverty, crime, and mental health issues.
Okay, so hold up, let's give some real life examples of that.
Okay, right? Go ahead.
School shootings. Right? What's the other one?
So we'd have to do some digging about the demographics of the household, but yeah, I think that would contribute.
Mental health, I guess you would say unaliving or suicide. I know they use different terms now.
I've been hearing that lately.
I would assume that would go down some. I think I do have a child care and something in education bills I got written up to feed into that. But go ahead, I'm sorry.
I'm
just trying to give real life examples too when you're listing this stuff.
Now we bouncing back and forth, man. What we do. So economic benefits: successful marriages can lead to more economic stable households, reducing the reliance on government assistance programs. More or less, like, if people are married, there's gonna be less welfare. You don't get food stamps if you're married, FYI. But healthcare outcomes: research suggests that married individuals tend to have better physical and mental health outcomes compared to unmarried individuals, leading to potential savings in healthcare costs. Like,
so basic needs, like one of Maslow's hierarchy of basic needs is love.
Facts.
Love is affection, it's companionship, it's physical touching, obviously sex involved, kissing, all this stuff makes up love. That humans need this stuff. It's very important for our survival. People really downplay that, but it's very important.
I totally agree with you on that, and I was processing that, and it's like, you know, as far as like, I couldn't have said it better though, bro.
Okay.
So family structure, stables, marriages provide a supportive environment for raising children, leading to better outcomes for the next generation and potentially reducing the need for government intervention and child welfare.
So break that down, right? So if you got more healthy married couples creating healthy environments at home, there's a ripple effect outside the home. First of all, the kids will be well-mannered. They'll be more likely to be productive citizens of society, right? That's their trajectory. Not saying they won't make mistakes and do stuff. Also, more than likely, those parents are going to be involved in community stuff like the PTA or all these kind of things. More than likely, I'm not saying they will or have to, but if you're building a nation of healthier parents guiding the youth, I feel like there's a ripple effect in all directions. If you have, say, stable married couples and families and stuff instead of a bunch of broken families, people that are single, not saying there's nothing wrong with being single, like lifelong bachelor and bachelorettes. Mm-hmm. There's nothing wrong with the alternative community, the gay community, lesbian, all that stuff. You got to account for that too. But we're looking from a heterosexual lens, so just no offense to our other upgraders. we're approaching it from that standpoint.
Well, I'm gonna throw a curveball.
Okay, go ahead.
I'm gonna throw a mean one too.
Go ahead.
So, I got three baby mamas.
Okay.
That I know and can validate. But like, how does that work? Must I choose and then sacrifice the others, or?
Okay.
We talked about alternatives to the nuclear family.
Okay.
And we also discussed today about, you know, biblical times, how King Solomon had like 700 wives. Mm-hmm. Many of them were like diplomatic things, but he had like 400 concubines. And mm-hmm. if you don't know what a concubine is, that's just a hoe on the side just to bang, like take out some aggression. Mm-hmm. And but anyways, deviating. My question is, could a man live with... And I already know the answer to this. Mm-hmm. Three or more baby mamas and form, mm-hmm. I don't know, a different type of family to be around, to raise. Mm-hmm. And in that scenario, you would have mother, father. And in that scenario, mm-hmm. you have, it's a family.
Yeah.
And in that scenario, the kids, all the kids get mom and dad.
Okay. So we would have to create a special category for basically talking about polyamorous relationships.
Yes.
I had no problem with that because we got to live in the real world. How, I'll say how common are those? Probably not as common, but I don't see nothing wrong with having that.
I don't think they're common because they're, one, the stigmatism around it. Like, it's obviously negative. All the females are like...
women can have two husbands. Like, it goes both ways.
So. It wouldn't... it's not my particular flavor. But, like, yeah, I could see a scenario like that. Mm-hmm. Not for me. But, like...
I don't see why not. I don't know how you would...
What I'm asking is, like... Is... It would be a matter of... The parents sacrificing their pride for the betterment of the children. Because again, in that scenario, every one of the kids has both mother and father. True. Opposed to the other scenario where, oh, mama's working two jobs trying to make ends meet to live in this little shack. To be single and, you know, to scroll through whatever they naps Tinder and all that, looking for the next daddy, opposed to like, yo, I got all my bitches and all my kids.
We would just have to figure out, just like we came up with the other stuff, we can come up with that too.
But I think if there were legal
yeah.
processes, because again, we're talking about, the nuclear family, there's a war on that. But at the same time, all families, I feel there's a war on that. But if we go down to the basics, don't worry about yourself and your petty drama. It's like, if that is ideal for the kids, then that's ideal for the kids. Deviating from the polygamy, is that what it is?
It was polyamory.
Polyamory?
Yeah.
Deviating from that.
Or is it polygamy too? I think so when it comes to marriage.
I think it might be that.
Yeah,
it but might be, but anyways, yeah. Deviating from that, it's like, for, is it better to retain a toxic relationship in the marriage, mm-hmm. for the sake of the children? Because that seems to be the conservative view, like that we're in the folks that are against divorce.
Well, I would say I'll push even further. I'll expand on that. I don't even think it's just a conservative view. I think it's more of a survival view based on the cost. A survivor's view.
Interesting.
Based on the cost of living, inflation, the way things are moving, geopolitical issues that affect us, economy issues, like all that stuff ties into people's everyday decisions. So if the taxes got raised over here, you're less likely to move out on your own and be like, I'm already paying this. I can maintain this. I go out here. Now I'm paying extra. I got to cut stuff. So a lot of people make those choices not to move out. And you saw a lot of these stories. We probably covered it during COVID, during Rona. They stayed together simply because of COVID. They couldn't go anywhere.
And jobs
were cut and all this loss of freedom of movement. And you kind of had to like bunker down and be like.
But it's there is such a level of toxicity, and mm-hmm. then you're seeing a rise on domestics, violence, yeah, and everything. Absolutely, yeah. But I would say, again, we need to have more programs in place for, mm-hmm. like you said, like, you use a very fancy word to say, solving friendly ending of...
Oh, amicable mediation.
Yeah, to have more of that, man.
So, but I will say no. And based on what we read on the last marriage bill, like the law, a part of that is communication, conflict resolution, and education on how to deal with things. So, no. Based on those criteria right there, for you to be married, nah. Out of there. Like, nah. Because that's not healthy.
But... yeah, so they're in line.
And that's why I wrote the child care law to make sure everybody has affordable child care. But go ahead.
I think that can be established by, and say what you will on the public education system, but that could be established by, like, the public publicly educate toddlers. Mm-hmm. And then that is kind of like, it would be like child care.
Well, I'm saying as far as after school care.
Ah, okay.
So you know what I'm saying? Like daycare, like 24/7 daycare for people that work shift work, like nurses or whoever. You don't have daycares open like that. But if you have a 24-hour and it's affordable,
yeah,
everybody wins. We keep the economy going. We keep everybody going. We keep families together.
Well, nothing says the buildings have to close. You know, late night, they could be the same program in place. It's just 24/7. But
either way, I think you definitely have to establish some kind of situation, because you're talking about kids at 24/7.
Yeah, and this is...
So that's a whole different environment.
I think you gotta crush that pizza ring before you roll something out, because this is something you would have to really be delicately roll out.
And that's why the importance of passing the Intimacy Wellness Act or prostitution bill or a law that all this shit ties together. If you pay attention, if you do that, people can go, I'm gonna be crude here, go get your rocks off at any time. So you're not worried about trafficking humans, because you can go get your rocks off at any time. That's part of it. I know it's profit involved. I know it's part of that, and power and control and all this crazy ass shit. But if you already got an outlet for pretty much the whole population. This goes for disabled, for our gay and alternative lifestyle communities. This covers everybody with passing that law. But even though,
let's not leave out the introverts and the socially awkward.
Absolutely.
Many people have seen the movie The 40-Year-Old Virgin, but like, he could have took care of that a little bit earlier, you know, had there been this bill been in place.
So all this is tied together. What was the other thing we wanted to mention while we were on here?
Oh, man, we were all over with us. We got one more bill, I think.
Well, that one's just a little sample prenup, if you want.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. This is in order, right?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. So, for our upgraders out there, I'm not sure if you're familiar with what a prenup is, but as it's an agreement of how assets and stuff will be split in the unlikely event, what we all know it's coming, of a divorce. So, the marriage contract is entered into on a certain date. No, I'm reading the freaking preamble, man.
Yeah.
I don't need to read that. So, whereas the parties desired to be united in marriage and to establish the terms and conditions governing their financial and other rights and obligations during and after their marriage, now, therefore, in consideration... I should do, like, a British accent since I'm reading a document. Now, therefore, in consideration of the mutual covenants contained herein, the parties agreed follows... Automatic prenuptial agreement. This contract shall act as a it's actually kind of hard to do. Prenuptial agreement effective immediately upon the solemn. Yeah, this is a little legalese.
Yeah.
It's a little legalese for me. But pretty much it's as Chris mentioned, it would be like part of the marriage, is what I'm saying. Like, if you're getting married, like, you got to do this.
Yeah, this is automatic. So now you don't have the fight about, oh, I'm not signing no prenup. It's like, nah, this is automatic for you to even get married. You got to do this stuff. But you can't opt out. It's not, you know what I'm saying? If you don't want to do it, then you take that risk. So I think it's important for even average Americans to get a prenup, because I think you avoid a lot of the messiness. And I've been talking to a lot of divorced people in my encounters just in daily life. And it's brutal. Like, the one guy I talked to, he's paid over probably 120 grand just in legal fees.
Wow, and legal fees. Yeah. That's insane.
And
let alone assets.
That's not even counting like child support. That's just legal fees.
And that's what I'm saying. He's probably paying that to protect a very wealthy, very expensive assets. You know, but I suppose that's part two on here, is like the spousal property. Mm-hmm. And then you gotta dictate those terms. Like, for instance, if you have, you got two houses, you know, a beach house and all that, you should dictate those terms as far as how that property is going to be divided. If both parties, and that's husband and wife, what have you, they should know when you get divorced, in the unlikely event, like, what they're leaving with. So no one should be surprised that, yo, you came here with nothing. You won't leave how you came. Like, you should know that. Or in another scenario, it's like, hey, you came here with nothing, but, you know, I love you no matter what, baby, so I'm still going to give you the house and, you know, some Lambos and shit. Like, that's what's dictated in a prenup. Alimony is just a fancy word for saying what you got to pay that bitch after you divorce her. But anyways, it's like, no, seriously, it's like, this is what, it's in this, how do you say, type of prenup, you would agree on this preemptively and say, like, hey, you know, in the unlikely event we get divorced because I cheated on you, I'm going to pay you, yada, 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 just because, you know, you've been balling with me for all these years, you should be balling by yourself when we split up. That's more or less what alimony is. Renewals, I'm not too familiar with
that. That was basically what I was talking about. Like,
okay, so you're
like
talking
renewing
about
the marriage license every 5 years.
I see. So in doing that, it would renew the prenuptial agreement.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. So,
and that's just a sample, but anybody can do this, like average income, whatever, because you got to think, yeah, we might not be all rich, but you still get affected financially from a bad divorce. And that's not spoken about.
Yeah, and that's real talk.
And I think it protects both parties. Like, say a woman built herself up, got her own house, got her own assets and stuff like that, comes into the marriage. Say the guy maybe doesn't have that, maybe he has a good job and stuff like that, but he doesn't have those type of assets. I'm sure she would be pretty pissed losing that, and she worked her ass off to get that.
Yo, facts, because you see the young boys chasing the cougars and all that. Like, they know what they're doing. They're like, hey, you marry this chick, and then you can, if the worst happens, whatever, you get a chunk of it. But, like, I think it's, again, it's irresponsible of government to just let two parties come together. I mean, we discussed how they benefit from marriage, so it's like, they want to, you know, facilitate it, but at the same time, it's still irresponsible to allow that, and then, because ultimately, the governments of the states and the feds, they're paying for the damages in some sort of way.
Yeah, absolutely. The last thing we're going to mention, the last bill we wrote, and I think this, like I said, once again, all this feeds into the other. This is pretty much for single people.
Okay.
Starting off single as individuals, this is the Florida Equality and Fairness Act of 2024. And I will read the preamble for this. The state of Florida recognizing the fundamental right to bodily autonomy and equal opportunity for all hereby enacts the Florida Equality and Fairness Act of 2024 to ensure equal access to reproductive health care, responsible fatherhood, fair child custody and support, and protection from domestic violence for all its citizens, regardless of gender, sexual orientation, or marital status. So essentially, I came up with this bill because there is definitely a huge disparity in how domestic violence is treated for men versus women and vice versa, how reproductive rights as far as a woman's choice, which I believe a woman should have all the options available when it comes to whether they want to have a baby or not. But I also believe that a man who she was involved with should have be a part of those options and be informed and also be able to make decisions, because it takes two to make a baby.
True indeed.
And so I'm going to try to do this real quick. Some of the parts of this bill. One is, let's see. I'm just trying to think of guarantee of access to reproductive health care. The state shall ensure unhindered access to lawful and medically sound reproductive health care services, including abortions, contraceptive, prenatal care, and infertility treatment, without discrimination based on gender, income, or insurance status.
I like that.
Okay, another one. Mandatory paternity testing and fatherhood engagement, which is part of the war on the nuclear family. So, automatic paternity testing. Paternity shall be automatically established at birth for all children, regardless of marital status, through a cost-free and state-funded testing.
Yeah, so I want to inject into that. Like, so, I full-heartedly agree with this, just for, how you say, the peace of mind of the father.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, I believe it was Plato who said, mothers love their children more because they're sure that they're theirs. But I let that marinate, you know what I'm saying? Back in the day, they didn't have DNA tests.
Yeah.
So it was like, yo, the fathers were just like, you know, they love their kids, but But that DNA test, for peace of mind and also for, you know, proper accountability, I believe it needs to be done. And when babies come out, they don't look nothing like it. But, you know, you DNA test them and, you know, they feel a lot better.
And then another thing is child support reform, which is a very hot button issue within these conversations. Child support calculations shall be based on both parents' income and earning potential to ensure fair and proportionate financial contributions from both parties. Because we talk about equality.
Facts.
That's an example of equality, especially when it comes to the kids' welfare. We don't talk about this enough. Another factor real quick is another hot button issue within this is domestic violence prevention and support. Equality and resources. This is a big one. All domestic violence programs and shelters should be equally accessible and inclusive, regardless of the victim or perpetrator's gender, sexual orientation, or any other protected characteristic. Meaning they should have shelters for battered men or men that's been violated in a domestic violence situation.
And there's not a lot of talk about that. There's really not a lot of talk about the other side of that.
Absolutely.
I agree.
And also, it'll be protection orders and enforcement. Protection orders shall be readily available and effectively enforced to ensure the safety and well-being of victims and their families, which is kind of all right, but we probably would enhance that. Accountability and enforcement. Law enforcement and judicial systems shall be equipped and trained to effectively investigate, prosecute, and hold perpetrators of domestic violence accountable. So, and then it's like trauma-informed services, obviously, bystander intervention and education. The last thing is data collection and reporting. All state agencies collect, report data on implementation of this act, including utilization of services, outcomes for individuals and families, and ongoing needs and challenges. Public education and awareness. So if you use the roll this out, you got to tell the public. PR blitz. All forms of media, like YouTube, Snapchat, whatever. Hey, this is the new law. This is what it includes. Make it very colorful, loud, bright, very easy to digest.
Again, I put it into the things that people watch.
Yeah.
And if even if it means a commercial during sports, like do that.
Absolutely.
Or have a, how you say, athletes talk about the law, because while I'm not the biggest sports fan, I do recall, you know, there's been a lot of NFL folks, they got caught up with the domestic stuff, and it hurts the team. But yeah, definitely, I think these are great ideas.
Yeah, and so my biggest thing is just, if men and women truly want, well, I would say women more so, I think men are pretty fair overall, that we don't mind women have equality, like, we have no problem with that. But it needs to be across the board. So writing these bills and laws is to help healthy families, healthy individuals, healthy marriages, healthier nation, upgrade America.
Preach, brother. And yo, this episode was freaking fire, man. Really enjoyed hanging out with y'all and discussing these topics, and want to hear your feedback, because I know my viewpoints are pretty controversial. But anyways, to leave y'all with some thoughts. Life is a game of chess. Life is a game of chess, and it's like, yo, you gotta freaking it takes patience, and there's another virtue we're discussing today.
I would say forward motion while thinking through with strategy.
Facts. And that's what life is about. And just don't rush into things. Don't be quick to get anger. Quoting from Proverbs. And like, God is real. And Jesus loves you. That's all I got to say.
I guess, yeah, we're going to end on this. I guess a couple of tips we're running across real quick. Keys to a healthy relationship. What we were reading is... clear and open communication, healthy boundaries, honesty and trust, and love and affection are keys to a successful relationship, or i.e. marriage. That's what I was reading about.
Facts.
And we're trying to get everybody married, booed up, or if you want to stay single, be responsible and single.
And get your, your intimate...
intimacy and wellness itch. So Upgrade America, I think we're signing out. Hopefully we didn't bore y'all to death with all this legal stuff, but that's what we're trying to do, is Upgrade America. So having actual bills and laws instead of just talking shit, you know, we move a little different, if y'all haven't noticed, for these past 5 years. On St. Patrick's Day, ironically, like a drunken holiday, we're talking about bringing the family together.
And FYI, black or African people have been in Ireland for hundreds of, like,
medieval times?
Since medieval times.
So we're going to just say a little known fact that is not discussed on St. Patrick's Day, but y'all do your research, do your Googles. So peace out.
Yeah.